glory and power are yours, O God. For you are worthy to receive them. You are worthy. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. Father God, let your will be done in this time of our studies. Father God, may through these studies we grow closer to you, that Father God, we would be more and more like your Son Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We glorify your name. We give you praise. We give you honor. Father God, may your word today go forth in power. Father God, may we come to trust you more and more. Father, today I especially lift up those who are going through stuff, going through the negative things in life. Maybe they're going through a loss. Maybe they're going through, Father God, a radical life change. We ask, Father God, that they would be aware of your presence. Father, today we open our hearts and our minds to the presence of your Holy Spirit, to the presence of your Son, and to the power of your Word. And we will, Father God, praise your name forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. We are continuing on with our study of Noah and the events of the flood. Where we left off last week, Noah, his family, and the animals were all on the ark, and the flood had begun. And now we are going to pick up in Genesis chapter 8. This is about 5 months later. I want you to think about that before we actually get into the word itself. Noah and his family have been in the ark with the animals for 5 months when we start reading today. I want you to imagine the trauma that these 8 people went through. First, they have seen something that had never happened on the planet before. Rain. Because up until this time, the ground was watered by a mist that came up out of the ground. The ground was watered by the ambient humidity that would condense out overnight. And so they had never known rain. They knew of rivers, they probably knew of lakes, maybe even knew of the oceans. But because there had never been rain, they never knew of flooding. And now, it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, 40 days, 40 nights of rain on the earth isn't going to precipitate out enough water from the air to flood the earth to the highest mountains. But also the groundwater, what the Bible refers to as the waters of the deep, were released. The fountains of the deep were broken up, and that groundwater came up. I imagine that at that time, the water that was locked up in the polar ice caps was released. And in the process of these fountains being broken up, what had once been a mostly smooth landmass with some hills here and there, probably nothing rising much more than a few thousand feet. All of a sudden, with all of this water that's been released, everything is covered. And Noah and his family are closed up on this boat. Admittedly, it's a big boat. Some 450 feet by about 150 feet by about 45 feet tall. But let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I'm locked in a boat with seven other people and a bunch of critters, I think somewhere around, week four, I'd be going, oh Lord, oh Lord, make it stop. These people were traumatized. I can only imagine what that must have been like. And after 5 months, we come to Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Then God remembered Noah. Now, let's be real. Because one of the last things we read last week was, God told Noah, come into the ark. God was already on the boat. God was already there. God was already demonstrating his love by being on the boat. I guess that kind of makes the ark the original love boat. I'm sorry. Little late 1970s American humor. But love was already on the boat. God was on the boat before Noah got on the boat. So how can the Bible say God remembered? If God was already there, what was God hiding out in one of the corners of the boat, you know, not paying attention, knowing the crew? Like, no. The Bible tells us specifically there is only one thing that God will forget, and he will choose to forget, and that is our sin. The Bible says that God will throw our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. God says he will separate us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. No, God did not forget Noah and his family. But here's something else. The Bible does not record God speaking to Noah and his family until they come out of the ark, until they come out of the boat. So I imagine in the mind of Noah, who is sitting in this boat on the water, that he probably figured, my God, why have you forgotten me? Why have you left me alone with these seven other people and all these animals? And so from Noah's perspective, because it's been 5 months and he has not heard from God, that he figures that God has forgotten him. And so it's recorded as word was handed down from Noah to his son Shem, down through Abraham to Moses, who actually is the one who wrote out these events. That Noah would have said something like this or Shem would have recorded something like this to his sons. Yeah, we were on the boat for 5 months and then God remembered us. And how did they know that God had remembered them? If God has yet to speak to them, if it's not been recorded that God spoke to them just yet. And God made wind to pass over the earth. So think about this. They are in a boat. They're floating on the waters. I don't know what the conditions were when it was raining. I don't know what the wind factor was like when it was raining. Fortunately, the dimensions that God gave Noah to build this boat meant that Noah really built a big old honking barge. And the wonderful thing about barges is they are extremely stable on the waters. But then God made the wind to pass over the earth. Now, a little bit of science content. There are two ways to really make waves on this planet. Way one is called the tides. That's gravity. But that's not how most waves are made here on Earth. Most waves on Earth are caused by wind blowing over the water. So up until this time, we have not heard mention of wind, and yet now, God remembered. And how did God remember? He blew on the waters. Well, when he blew on the waters, guess what happened? You got waves. Which brings me to my next point. The first point was, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten me. But my second point is often when God is in the process of bringing us to where we need to be, there are going to be some waves. In other words, we will pray for deliverance from a situation. And in the process of God moving things out of our way, the boat's going to rock. And the boat's gonna roll. Now, all too often, my response to the rocking and rolling of the boat is, "Whoa, whoa, God, I asked you to save me. And instead, you're making me seasick." And we want to get out of the boat. But sometimes God's processes are meant to strengthen us. Because see, when your life is being rocked with waves, when your life is being rocked with wind, you got two choices. You can jump overboard and you can drown, or you can hang on. God's desire is that we hang on. And in the process of hanging on, we will be strengthened. We'll get stronger because we'll be working the faith muscle. We'll be working the trust muscle. And as the wind blows and the waves grow, the waters will subside. As the problems, as the challenges that were facing us get pushed aside by the very breath of God. Next thing, verse 2. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. So the rain stopped and the earth stopped pushing water up out of the water table, up out of the aquifers. Which brings me to my third point. When God is working in our lives, He doesn't always work in a flashy way. Let me ask you, when's the last time you saw the wind? Oh, you see the effects of the wind. You see the wind when it blows the leaves. You see the wind when it makes the branches of the trees move. You might see the effects of the wind as you watch a cloud float across the sky. But when's the last time you saw the wind? You don't. You only feel the effects of the wind. More often than not, God's movement for our lives and in our lives and through our lives is not seen in the moment of the movement. And we only perceive that it was God we only perceive that it was God after all the pieces have fallen into place. Noah did not see the wind, he saw the effects of the wind. The fountains of the deep were under the water, unless this was some extremely clean water where you could see all the way down to the bottom. You wouldn't see the fountains of the deep being stopped up. Often, God is moving in a place where we can't see. I'm reminded of the story of a young lady who was working on a job. I'm actually stealing this story from another pastor that told it, so I'm almost certain I'm going to butcher it horribly. But she was working on this job, and she was a Christian, a very strong Christian. And her boss had it in for her. Her boss had made it very plain and very clear that unless she stepped away from this Christianity stuff, she would have no future at that place of employment. And so she began to pray about the situation. And it didn't seem like anything was happening. And so she began to pull in other prayer warriors. And they began to pray about this situation. Eventually, she pulls in her pastor and they pray about the situation. And it doesn't seem like anything is happening. And one day, this young lady goes into work. And the moment she gets into work, she gets called, not into her boss's office, but her boss's boss. And she is certain as she's making that long walk down the hallway that this is it. This is it. And she comes into the office and there's her boss's boss. There's the head of the personnel department. And she's like, well, Lord, you'll provide. Because she is certain that because personnel is there, that she's about to get the axe finally. Her boss has finally had his way. And they ask her to close the door and have a seat. And they begin discussing the situation with her boss, and they explain that because of the situation with her boss and some other stuff that she did not know about, her boss had been fired. And the reason why the head of personnel was there was because they were promoting her to her boss's job. She did not see God moving. In fact, she didn't even have a wind that God was moving. At least sometimes you have a clue that God's moving because you can see situations shifting. No, this was a situation of the fountains of the deep, and her life had been closed up. So that the floodwaters that was her boss could be moved on. See, often we do not see God move. We don't see God moving. Verse 3, and the waters receded continually from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, 5 months, 5 months, 7 months in, verse 4, and then the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. 7 months of rocking and rolling on the boat. 7 months of going through stuff and storms. And halfway through the seventh month, rest. Now, I'm not going to tell you that when you pray to God, it's going to take 7 months. Sometimes we pray to God and God takes 7 milliseconds. Sometimes you pray to God and it takes 7 hours or 7 days, 7 years or 70 years. Don't give up. You will find rest. And in the meantime, you are still safe with God. Because remember, God was on the boat. God was on the boat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. 10 months since they've seen land last. Let me tell you, some folks try to say that the flood of Noah was a local event. When's the last time you saw a local flood cover the tops of the hills and stay there for 10 months? Let me tell you, this was an all-out event. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days. So this is 10 months plus 40 days. Noah opened the window of the ark, which he made, and he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters dried up from the earth. So he sent out a raven. Why a raven? Well, one, ravens tend to be scavengers. And so he's testing to see if there's anything out there. If there's anything out there. And ravens are very resourceful birds. They actually can survive in many places where you would never expect to find them. And so he sends out a raven to test the conditions. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for her foot and returned to him. Why a dove? Because doves are a little bit more picky about where they can live, about where they can roost. And so sending out the raven told him that, yeah, it's probably mostly habitable, but sending out the dove told him, yeah, it's we're ready to rock and roll. And so the dove came back and he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And so he waited yet another week. He waited another 7 days. And he sent the dove out. And when the dove came back to him, there was a freshly plucked olive leaf. That told Noah that plants had begun to grow again. Interesting that after 10 months, 11 months and 40 days, 11 months and 47 days, she brings back an olive leaf. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove again, and the dove didn't return anymore. So the dove and the raven have both found a place to live. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering off of the ark, and look, indeed the surface of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. So watch this. A year, 12 months on the ark, 5 months before the waters are receding, 7 months before the ark comes to rest, a full year has elapsed that they have been on the ark. A full year. And finally, God says to Noah, and God spoke to Noah saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all the flesh that is with you, of the birds and the cattle, creeping things and that creep upon the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. A year later, we hear God's voice again. And what's God's commandment? The same commandment that he had given to Adam and the woman in the garden. Be fruitful, multiply, and abound. It's the same commandment that we have today. To be fruitful, to bear the fruit of God, to bear the fruit of faith, to bear the fruit of trusting God. And what is the fruit of trusting God? Love is the fruit of trusting God. The fruit of the Spirit. If we trust God, we have the Spirit. If we have the Spirit will bear fruit. And the fruit that the Spirit will bear is love. Not some ushy-mushy kind of love, but the kind of love that is hardcore about wanting the best for those that are around us. True love doesn't just say, hey, do what you want, even if it destroys you. True love says, I love you enough to say, don't step in front of the bus no matter how much you want to. True love says, don't jump today because tomorrow is going to be better. True love says, I love you enough to walk with you through your pain, through your trouble, through your trials. True love multiplies itself. And God told Noah and his family, go out and be abundant. Now, in the case of Noah specifically, this was the command to replenish the earth, repopulate the earth with animal life and human life. Today in the 21st century, our commandment to be fruitful and be abundant is to repopulate the earth with the life of God and the love of the Father and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. They went out of the ark. And then something amazing happens, but you know what? I'm going to leave it here. And the reason why I'm going to leave it here is because I want to take my time with this next section, even though it's only three verses. And that's going to actually take us down into chapter 9 just a little bit. But I want to leave off here because something amazing happens over the next three verses and through the next chapter. And so let's bow our hearts in prayer as we close out today. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. And we thank you that you are there in our time of trouble. That you are there when we need you most. We ask, Father God, again, we pray for those that are going through stuff. But I want to pray again, Lord, that they begin to sense the wind of your Spirit blowing across their troubles. We ask, Father God, that you would that they would begin to see the waters of their troubles receding. Father God, we know that you are a God of provision. We know that your name is you are salvation. You are saving. You are covering. You are provider. You are our strength, our mighty fortress. And I call on you to be those things to the people at Balance Point. And I call on you to strengthen their hands so that they might be fruitful and multiply. That, Father God, that they might be the visible manifestation of the power of the invisible Almighty God. Thank you, Father God, for this time in your word. And may your name be blessed among your people. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. We at Balance Point live to serve. We live to teach these lessons and to spread the word of God among the people of God and out to the wider world. We would love to hear from you and to hear what Balance Point is doing in your lives. And so to facilitate that, we would love to just drop us a line. It doesn't have to be a long letter, but just a message. How'd you hear about Balance Point? And how is Balance Point ministering and serving in your life? You can contact us here at Balance Point by email, staff@balance-point.org. You can message us on Facebook. Just look up the Balance Point Christian Community on Facebook. And you can leave a message on our Facebook page. You can leave a message to us on our YouTube page. We're at Balance Point Church, all one word, Balance Point Church. And for those of you who would prefer to send a real written letter, we love receiving letters and we love receiving a word from you. You can write us at Balance Point Church, at 1998 East Oris Street at Willowbrook, California. And the zip code there is 90222. That's 1998 East Oris Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear what God is doing in your life through Balance Point. Normally, I would have an invitation for those who have never followed the Lord, but We're going to do that next week. And so if you are watching Balance Point and you have somebody in your life who doesn't know Jesus, we'd like you to invite them to join us next week for Balance Point for a very special message. We're going to be beginning right where we left off, Genesis chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 20, and we're going to go down through a good chunk of chapter 9. But there is a message there, in fact, several messages, that I believe will touch the lives of those who have never walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now prepare to receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are with us in all of our trials and temptations, and who, unseen to us, blow across our lives. May you be blessed. And may the love of God multiply in your life until we come again. Amen and amen.